Welcome to St. James Bible Bites. This podcast was recorded live at our Sunday morning service, and the full recording can be found on our Facebook page as well as our YouTube channel, both linked on our website. Our readings today are taken from Luke 24, verses 13 to 27, and Acts 11, verses 9 to 26. We continue our sermon series for Lent entitled Everyone, Everywhere, Growing in Faith. The talk is by our curate, the Reverend David Wilkie, and he reflects on the letter T for together.
The first reading is from Luke chapter 24, verses 13 to 27. It's that well-known story on the road to Emmaus. Now, that same day, two of them were going to a village called Emmaus, about 7 miles from Jerusalem. They were talking with each other about everything that had happened. As they talked and discussed these things with each other, Jesus himself came up and walked along with them, but they were kept from recognizing him. He asked them, "What are you discussing together as you walk along?" They stood still, their faces downcast. One of them, named Cleopas, asked him, "Are you the only one living in Jerusalem who doesn't know the things that have happened there in these days?" "What things?" he asked. "About Jesus of Nazareth," they replied. "He was a prophet, powerful in word and deed before God and all the people. The chief priests and our rulers handed him over to be sentenced to death, and they crucified him. But we had hoped he was the one who was going to redeem Israel. And what is more, it is the third day since all this took place. In addition, some of our women amazed us. They went to the tomb early this morning, but they didn't find his body. They came and told us they had seen a vision of angels who said he was alive. Then some of our companions went to the tomb and found it just as the women had said, but him they did not see. Then he said to them, 'How foolish you are, and how slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Did not the Christ have to suffer all these things and then enter into his glory?' And beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he explained to them what was said in all the scriptures concerning himself." This is the word of the Lord.
The second reading is from Acts 11, verses 9 to 26, and I'm reading from the NIV version, and it's about the church in Antioch. "Now those who had been scattered by the persecution that broke out when Stephen was killed travelled as far as Phoenicia, Cyprus and Antioch, spreading the word only among Jews. Some of them, however, men from Cyprus and Cyrene, went to Antioch and began to speak to Greeks also, telling them the good news about Lord Jesus. The Lord's hand was with them, and a great number of people believed and turned to the Lord. News of this reached the church in Jerusalem, and they sent Barnabas to Antioch. When he arrived and saw what the grace of God had done, he was glad and encouraged them all to remain true to the Lord with all their hearts. He was a good man, full of the Holy Spirit and faith, and a great number of people were brought to the Lord. Then Barnabas went to Tarsus to look for Saul, and when he found him, he brought him back to Antioch. So for a whole year, Barnabas and Saul met with people with the church, and great numbers of people. The disciples were called Christians, first at Antioch. This is the word of the Lord."
Thanks be to God.
Good morning, St. James's Church. Hi, everyone. My name's Dave, I'm the curate here, and this morning, I must confess, I was a bit like, I'm not really sure what I'm going to say. I got lots of thoughts going on around my mind, but what is it I really want to say to you this morning? And my wife, being the prayerful, super spiritual, amazing woman she is, she gathered us and the kids together in a circle, a bit like this. There's six people. All in a circle. It's even got some of my kids' painting on it. It could be a beautiful ornament. It's been painted. It's lovely. And as we gathered around, and we just asked God, you know, what is it that we should bring to you, or I should bring to you this morning? And so we said, you know, let's be quiet and just use your imaginations. Let's see what God comes up with, or see what happens. And then Edie just shouts out the word leopard. I'm like, oh, okay. This is a bit left field. It's different. But I'm going to say, actually, I'm going to talk a bit about conflict today. And if you are in conflict with someone, and you just have given up on them, and you think a leopard can't change its spots. It's their character. It's like, it's who they are. I'm in conflict. Let's just, you know, it's not going to change. I want you to bring that to God this morning. So the first word was leopard. I managed to crowbar that in. Do you see what I did there? It was good. The next one was this picture. So I looked across and I saw this ornament on a windowsill. And it was six people standing together and they're bound and they're all looking in towards the light. And so just as I talk, if you think about this, and I want you to think about actually where are you in community? Where are you together with other people? It might be a picture of here or somewhere else. Could be a place of work, could be where you live, could be anywhere. Anywhere you get in contact with other people, and how, what is it that you're looking at together? The next one was a word of fertility. It was, that was my wife. She felt like actually something that we bring this morning. You might know someone who's struggling for children, and I want you to bring that before God. Because this story this morning, the road to Emmaus, is actually people coming from a tragic place, a place of darkness, a place of death. And all their hope is gone. Jesus, who they put all their hope in, who they followed around, has now died. And they're walking away, but crucially, they're talking to someone about it. They're talking to someone. And then Jesus meets them. So maybe a few of those words might help. I also want to think about actually where do you encounter genuine community this morning? And I was thinking, not just this morning, but in your life. And I was thinking of things I've seen this week and last week. And there's been a few precious moments. One of them, I hope Eileen doesn't mind me saying it, but the Avon Grove Home Communion, at the very start of it, there's about eight of us there. We all sang this song, and it goes, "Bind us together, Lord, bind us together with words that cannot be broken. Bind us together, Lord, bind us together in love." And when I say sang, we kind of a cappella, don't we? Someone sets the note, and we just kind of try and follow along. There's no instruments. But there was something so powerful in that. Do you think we can try it? Yeah? Bind us together, Lord, bind us together with words that cannot be broken. Bind us together, Lord, bind us together, oh, bind us together in love. Let's do that again. Bind us together, Lord, bind us together with words that cannot be broken. Bind us together, Lord, bind us together, Lord, bind us together in love. Thank you. That was, it's powerful, isn't it? It's powerful that we are being called here to be bound together in love. And actually, that is the hope of the church in this world. We live in a fragmented world, and one that is not seeing us as, almost doesn't want us to be a community bound together in love. Another thing where I've encountered community, strangely, was at a spin class. Now, has anyone been to a spin class? You get on these bikes, you get on, and you cycle like mad as fast as you can for ages. Now, at Christmas, I went along to my first spin class at Blackbrook Leisure Centre, and they're all wearing these Santa hats. And they're all, I'm just like, what is going on? And they're like, yeah, can you imagine? Like, there's 12 people all bobbing around on these bikes with Santa hats flying around. And you're just pouring a sweat, and it's like, I could hardly walk afterwards. And they did this, like, raffle afterwards, and I'm like, crawling to the front. Anyway, I've been going there every Saturday morning since Christmas, and I'm encountering genuine community there. People are asking how each other are doing, and there's a real congratulatory thing at the end. You come together, you're just like, well done. It's because it's really hard. And another time I felt like I encountered community this week was when I just finished teaching year four at St. James's School in here about Holy Communion. And then I wandered over to the church hall, and there's an art club going on there. And I went round to each of your tables, and I just looked at what you were drawing. And it wasn't just what you were drawing, but it was the conversations that were going on amongst it. You were all just sat at your tables drawing whatever picture you wanted in your own space. And yet there was a genuine sharing of life together. And then later on, after picking up my girls, I came back and there was the funeral here. And actually see so many of you in the church hall all eating together. Just felt like there is hope. So often I think actually there is no hope. The church is doomed. Where it just sometimes feels like that, doesn't it? And yet, if we open our eyes, there is genuine community going on. And it's up to us to be part of it, because we do have a choice. In this world today, previously, I feel like we used to live in a should and shouldn't kind of world. You should go to church every Sunday, and you shouldn't do this, and you should do that. And that was how you lived. You should do this job because that's what you've been told to do. That was your trade. That was your family's work. You should study this. You should do that. Whereas now, we've gone into a world of can. You can do this. You can do this and this. Oh, and you can also be this person. And look at social media. You could be this as well. And look at this perfect person. Scroll through this timeline and look at this person. Look what they're doing. Look what you're not. Look what you're missing out on. Instead of you should be doing, it's you can. And actually, we are being seduced by an endless possibility of things we can do. And you think that would be freeing, wouldn't it? Oh, good, I don't have to go to church every Sunday. I can do this instead. Or I could do that. I could do sports. I could do other things. And sometimes it's good to be almost to feel freer. But you know what? A lot of our young people today, living in a world of can, you can do this, of endless possibilities, are faced with anxiety and loneliness. It's not a good thing for us to have an endless, limitless boundary. It's scary. You think, actually, I want to be that person who can do everything, because I'll be missing out otherwise. If I commit, now commitment is a hard thing though, because if I commit to being a Christian, and if I commit to coming to church once a week, or joining a home group, maybe going to a prayer gathering, maybe tithing, if I commit, then I'm going to miss out. Because you're here rather than somewhere else. Or are you? Maybe you're on your phone, still looking somewhere else. But there's that idea of commitment and belonging. In this world, it doesn't want that. We are consumers, your digits, who are consuming things, and we're being told to do that. We're constantly seduced by adverts about things you need to be a better person, to do something different. And it is tearing the very fabric of our society apart. We're seeing lots of strikes, inequality, increasing use of food banks. We're not looking after one another as well as we could, because we're often thinking of ourselves as individuals and our rights and our endless possibilities. So there is a hope for this world, and I believe it is Jesus. So we have this road to Emmaus. Now, let's go back to the Bible here, because I've gone off on one there. Right. We have this road to Emmaus, and it's a strange story because actually, I've mentioned this before, but if you're a scriptwriter, you wouldn't write a Hollywood film like this because Emmaus just isn't an important place. It's a place 7 miles trek away. It's a small town. It's not like Jericho, where Joshua first took hold of the promised land. I mean, this could have happened there, or Bethany, where Lazarus had been raised. And only one person is named who Jesus met with. Why didn't they mention the other person? And why these two? Why not someone more important, like a religious leader who crucified Jesus? Why not, like, it just seems like there's two unimportant people, lesser-known disciples, walking to an insignificant place, and Jesus meets with them. So by meeting with us this morning, maybe you do feel a bit insignificant, or you're not sure where you're going, or you feel like the darkness is around you. Maybe this world is feeling too much for you right now. And you are exactly who Jesus wants to meet with. There's a story of the lost sheep. And there's a story where the shepherd has 99 sheep and leaves them all to go after the one. I'm reminded of that psalm, Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd, I lack nothing. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He refreshes my soul. He guides me along the right path for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the darkest valley, I will fear no evil. For you are with me, your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies, and you anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely your goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life. I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Surely your goodness and mercy will follow me. Often I think of myself, you know, being a follower of Jesus, chasing after Jesus. Where is he? What's going on? Am I doing things right? Am I walking the right way? Am I looking at the right thing? Here, by being a shepherd, Jesus is saying, I am following you. I am bringing up the rear guard. My goodness is following you. If you feel like a lost sheep, then Christ is pursuing you this morning. So community, do we really want it? Do we want to commit to getting to know one another better? Or is it good enough just to be a part of a little bit and not loads? Scott Peck is an author I've been reading. He writes a book called The Different Drum, and it's from 1990. And he says that if we can resolve conflict, we often have this mindset where we think, if we can resolve our conflicts, then someday we shall be able to live together in community. Could it be that we have this totally backwards? And that the real dream should be, if we can live together in community, then someday we shall be able to resolve our conflicts. We often think that to be a community, we all have to think the same, do the same, be the same. But actually, conflict is a crucial part of community. Communities are meant to be safe places. They're places where you could come and be yourself. Learn more about yourselves by rubbing shoulders with one another. But they are also places of conflict. And if we think that we shouldn't have conflict in community, then all we do is ignore it and we just shun it and just forget it. Whereas actually, I feel like as a community, we are called to be in conflict. It's part of what human nature is. But how do we do that with one another? In his book, Vanishing Grace, Philip Yancey notes that the phrase one another appears 29 times in various forms in the New Testament, and here are a few. So in the New Testament, it says that we are to love one another. We are to forgive one another. We're to pray for one another. Bear one another's burdens. Be devoted to one another. Regard one another as more important than yourself. Do not speak against one another. Show tolerance for one another. Be kind to one another. Speak truth to one another. Build up one another. Comfort one another. And care for one another. We are made for relationship, connection, community. It's not always easy, but it's reassuring to know that whatever we have been through, someone else has been through it too. We are not on our own, even though we often feel like we are. We have more in common than we realize. We all have doubts. We all have fears. We all have worries. However young or old we are, whatever we do for a living, whether we think we have great faith or no faith, we all share common human traits. Yet we're often guilty of assuming that we are the only ones. Surely no one else could possibly understand what we're facing, right? And the world around us right now, especially through social media, makes us think that we are alone. Do you have a part to play in this community, is my next question. How do you feel? What do you feel like your part is to play? Because to be in community is to be together, to working towards a common goal. There's a book, another author, I'm going to throw another quote at you, by Patrick Regan. He writes a book called Honesty Over Silence. Now, he's a youth worker that worked for XLP in London to work with knife crime. But he had a horrible bone issue with his knee. He had an operation, and it went really wrong. And he had a big rehabilitation process that just didn't work out. Anyway, he had to go for a second operation. He knew in going for the second operation, he'd have 6 months of rehab. He really wasn't looking forward to it. And then he went for the operation, and he was lying there, starting his 6 month recovery in hospital, asking God, you know, what is going on here? And he was trying not to sink into depression. But then God caught his attention with one man in this hospital, a man called Emmanuel. And he was the man who served the food on the ward and took pleasure in his job. So rather than just deliver the trays of food and walk out again, he tried to make everyone laugh to brighten up their day. When he brought the tea trolley round to our bay, he would muster his highest-pitched voice and say, "There is tea in the house, my friends!" He never failed to make people smile. He says that when Diane and I were chatting with the specialist limb construction nurse, she told us that Emmanuel was just as important to the hospital as the consultant. If people are hungry, they will not recover, she said. Every person working here is a cog in the machine, and we all need cogs for the machine to keep working properly. If that's true for the hospital, it's true for the bigger picture of the world. And it's true for the church. We all need one another, and each of us has a part to play. No one is more or less important than the other, no matter how you feel. All of us are made in the image of God. Each of us is known and cared for. It's so easy to put people on pedestals, but God sees things differently. People who are outcast or looked down on by society always have a special place in his heart. He will go after the lost sheep. He will follow you. His goodness and mercy will follow you all the days of your life. And I think we just have to open ourselves up to that possibility here this morning. Whether you're in a place of conflict, or whether you're not feeling like you're together with anyone, or you've lost sight of the light at the center of it, you've lost sight of Jesus, we are called to be community here together. The disciples walking from the crucifixion to Emmaus, they thought that they found a prophet, a Messiah, a Savior who was going to rescue them from the suffering of their life under Roman oppression. They thought they were going to be rescued from suffering. But as Jesus retells the story, as he shows them, lays out the whole scripture to them, he says that instead the story of God is about Israel being redeemed through suffering, not from suffering. And so often as Christians, we think we're going to be rescued from suffering. Everything's going to be amazing from now on. But this story tells us that God is with us through the suffering. Even through the darkest valleys, God is with you. Let's finish just by singing those words again together.
Bind us together, Lord, bind us together with words that cannot be broken. Bind us together, Lord, bind us together, Lord, bind us together in love.
Thank you, Dave.
For more Bible Bite podcasts, simply visit our website, www.stjamestaunton.co.uk, and click on resources. Thank you for listening, and may God be with you today.